This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to the Red Light Special. This is episode 13, lucky episode 13. What you just heard was our theme song by Jake and Papa. It's called Starless, man. They provided the intro for us. So shout out to Jake and Pop. Chris, what up, man?
What's up?
Yo, we back. Another week, another episode, man. This one I feel really good about. Before we go any further, though, I wanted to shout out Jake and Papa. A lot of people ask us, that song is called Starless, and it's the intro to our podcast. And a lot of people been hitting us up on social media. And Chris, you've been filled in a lot of these questions about where they can get this song. You know, up until now, this song only existed on the Red Light Special. But Jake and Pop just put out their new album, Sexual Warfare. It's on their SoundCloud page, and Starless is a track on it, man. So y'all need to please go and check that out, man. They got some dope tracks on that album, like Beating the Trunk, Entertainer, of course Starless. I'm just getting into the project now, but I like what I'm hearing so far.
I liked 187. It has Casey Veggies on it, which I think is one of the most dopest people you can get on an R&B record to be featured. I always say Childish Gambino, people who have that kind of sound are definitely dope to get on R&B records. But it samples Can You Handle It by Usher. And I swear to you, it took me so long. And when I say so long, I say like 10 minutes. But I couldn't figure out where the beat was from. And I started singing all these R&B records in my head. And I'm like, is it Trey Songz? I knew it from somewhere until I had to like really get into it. And, you know, I had to tweet them and just tell them, because it took me forever to figure it out. But I think it's dope. 187 is definitely one of my favorites.
Word. And definitely we've been speaking with Jake and Pop. So when they come to New York, they definitely going to be a guest. We're going to roll out the red carpet for them. So, you know, wait for that. But in the meantime, please check out that Sexual Warfare. But I want to get into, we got a very special guest inside of the studio today. I mean, yeah. This brother has been holding it down for us and really representing for us since our first episode. I feel like since our second episode, maybe. I think we came with the first episode, and then the second episode, word started to spread about the Red Light Special and what we were doing. And me and this brother got in contact, and he's been showing love and support ever since. I just want to welcome Jamie from ThisIsR&B.com, man. The good brother from a very good website.
Thank you.
What's good, man?
I'm chilling. Glad to be here.
All right. Jamie, you got a last name? You go by a last name?
Wexler.
Jamie Wexler. There we go. Wexler. All right. Nah, that's what's up, man. Jamie Wexler.
Sounds like such an iconic name.
Nah. definitely an icon. Definitely digital. This is R&B.com. When did you start the site?
2008 is when I first put it up, you know, and it was something to do on the side at that time. So I would really say 2010 is when it was more of a focus.
Okay. Something to do on the side from what? What were you doing other than that?
Well, I came into that from being a mixtape DJ.
Right.
I had this company before called Tape Masters Inc.
Okay, yep.
And 2008 is when the blogs were really exploding, but mostly just hip-hop, a little bit of pop, and there was a space, so I thought, why not give this a try? Mm. And it was something that I had been looking for.
Right.
And it wasn't there, so I kind of just got a little advice on how to do it and started it. Mm-hmm. That's where it's been.
No doubt. Tape Masters Inc., if y'all don't know, he probably can't say so. But y'all leaked a lot of records, didn't y'all? You should see
his face. Just going to fly right by that one.
His face.
What made you choose R&B, though?
Well, kind of like I just said, that it was something that I was looking for, because at that time, a lot of people were saying that blogs are the new mixtapes, and there wasn't that platform for you to find the new R&B. I think there's maybe one site, maybe two.
Right.
And, you know, I just felt like I could do it better, and I had access to things like we were just mentioning. And
things we shall not discuss.
And, you know, it's kind of odd because I don't consider myself like the number one R&B purist or even the biggest fan. I am a fan of all music, and I think I was more of a hip-hop fan then, but I enjoyed R&B just as much as hip-hop and everything else. And oddly enough, I had success on the mixtape circuit with R&B, and it seems like that's just where I was drawn to for some reason. It was like a space that I saw. There was a void. First, there was a void in the exclusive mixtape side of it, and then there was a void in the online side of it. So just went and did it.
Nah, that's what's up. I mean, and I can relate, because that's a lot of the same reasons why we started this podcast. Me, I mean, I'm a hip-hop dude. Everybody kind of knows me the most from doing, you know, hip-hop interviews and interviewing all the rappers. So they was like, why would you start an R&B podcast? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why would I start a hip-hop podcast? Like, I already interview all the rappers all day, and I felt like there was definitely a void. There was definitely something missing within myself where I wasn't, like, speaking to the artists, all the artists that I wanted to speak to. So I just, you know, Chris and I got together and said, hey, how about we just do this R&B podcast? And 13 episodes later, man, we doing all right.
Yeah.
and you've been down since the beginning, man. You reached out, and every week, man, this is R&B Promotes, the Red Light Special, and shows us a lot of love. And he doesn't have to do that. The site doesn't have to do that. But, you know, I encourage you guys and everybody that's listening to check out This Is R&B every day. Like, I mean, because they're on it. They're on a lot of R&B sites. There are a couple. There are a handful. Not to say there's zero or there's none, because we don't want to discount anybody else's efforts. But to really be in this game, like, you have to have a passion for it. And you can see the passion from the website, you know, with the things y'all post. And y'all put me on to so many stuff. And it's really the first place I go.
They cover everything.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
It really does cover everything. So
I appreciate it.
Nah, no doubt. What is the future of the site for you? Like we heard about where it was birthed. Where do you want to take it? Where do you envision it going?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because I did it just because it was something new to do. And I don't know exactly if the online side of it is going to continue to last. I don't know if blogs were the new thing, and now I don't know if they are the new thing. It seems like it's just all social media. So, you know, aside from creating more visual content and original content with video, we had some ideas to try to do, you know, sort of pilot things for television. Mm-hmm. We are actually in the process of doing a web series.
Dope.
Dope.
Which is the first time we're announcing that right now.
Okay.
And it's actually not even really R&B related. It's more kind of relationship based.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be called Men Are Crazy Too. And it's actually the...
They are.
It's actually the sole idea of my assistant editor, who's based in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Her name's Keezy. And
will be a woman that came up with this idea.
Right. And that's going to be coming soon. We've had some great interest already. We just got a nice little sponsor from a champagne sponsor, and some Steve Madden stuff. So,
hey.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be really dope. I think it's going to be a nice progression for, you know, what a blog could do. You know, what could a website that is about music do after that, you know? So,
and web series are definitely coming up a lot more often. Mm-hmm. Now. I think it's definitely, you know, the thing to do before actually going into, like, film and all of that. So web series are pretty cool.
That's dope. Yeah. And y'all done a lot of original video content.
Yeah, we do the acoustic sessions, yeah, which is our favorite thing to do. And, you know, so I had interviews like everyone else. But yeah, you know, I think creating stuff that way is... it's just really important, and being a creative person myself, it's what I prefer to do.
That's what's up, man. Now, something I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we don't condone bootlegging over here, but, you know, when something so great crosses our path, like, I feel like we have to indulge. I normally buy albums, but this weekend album leaked.
It didn't fully leak.
No, I got the whole thing.
You got the whole thing?
Yeah, okay. I got the whole thing.
Well, he put out his own preview, you know, of the snippets.
Right. No. I got all the songs.
Okay.
For Beauty Behind the Madness. Like, really, honestly, is one of the most anticipated albums of the year for me. I've been, like, a huge Weeknd fan since House of Balloons. Like, and the whole trilogy was dope. He kind of lost me a little bit at Kissland. and you know, the new album is out. So, and I, you know, I definitely urge everybody to support it. I will be supporting it when it comes out.
Yeah.
On August 28th.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it right now on my computer. It, but you've heard at least the snippets, right?
Yeah, I listened to the snippets. Yeah.
What do you think?
Man, initially my first reaction was, this is really good. That was the first feeling. I think that what impressed me the most is actually the sequencing.
Right.
Because I'm a big fan of that. But the quality of the songs that they chose, I think were definitely probably the best that he recorded. And the direction to move out of the quote-unquote like dark druggy side that he was known for seems to be working really well, and right. I think it, from what I heard based on the snippets, because I didn't hear the whole thing yet, it sounds like it came together pretty well.
I got you, bro, don't worry about it.
I'm so against hearing leaked versions of anything, especially The Weeknd, but I just have my fingers crossed that I love it as much as everything else he's done. So
right now, and I feel you. Normally I'm like that, but when somebody was like, yo, I got the new Weeknd album, I was like, yo.
See, but you got the whole thing. I want to know who your plug is.
I can't say. But nah, it's definitely, it's interesting where he's going, because he's definitely moved out the dark, you know, lane. Like, tragic. Like, these were like the saddest, most tragic kind of love songs that he was singing. Like, it was really just like love for one night. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, Weeknd used to sing some of the most kind of fucked up things that you could say to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I only want you when I'm coming down. Like, yeah, that's fucked up.
Like, but it's real. Like, I feel like it's stuff that some people are too afraid to say. Right. Like, you ever have...
That's what made it
dope. I mean, if you ever had anybody, like, spend the night and then it's, like, the morning, you're just like, damn, when is this person going to leave? I mean, I know plenty of people that have had those kind of situations, and it's like you're too afraid to say those things. So when you can get somebody who says it in the music, it's like, how can you not love it?
Mm-hmm.
Even yeah. though I do like, you know, I Can't Feel My Face. I love records like that. So I hope that he has a lot of that on this album and that it works.
Well, Jamie, I ask you this. How do you think his core fans will react? Because kind of where R&B is now is definitely moody, dark, aggressive, in your face, explicit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for him to, for The Weeknd to get like with Max Martin, And clearly kind of going for more pop, a lot of Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones type influences. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the right move? Do you think he might alienate his core fans? Like, what do you think the move is?
Well, not based on what I heard. I think that they did a good blend. I mean, if you listen to if you just read the lyrics of Can't Feel My Face, we still know what it's about.
Right.
You know, so it's the music side is one, and the lyrics are another, and the lyrics cater to his fan base, I believe. You know, that's the case with a lot of artists, right? Everyone at some point or another gets to that stage where they have to continue to grow or they're going to go back down.
Right.
So I think all along he wanted to do this. If you've ever heard his early demos before House of Balloons, he was doing stuff that was pretty pop then. And, you know, he created a movement that was unlike anything we had before, so he built this whole great fan base around it, and I think he caters to them, if not more than halfway, at least halfway on this album.
Right.
And he's got stuff that's a little bit more to the audience that knows him from Ariana Grande.
Right. Nah, that's dope, and I look forward to it. You know, and I do have the album, but I listened to it out of curiosity. Like, I hadn't had a chance to sit and live with it yet, man. But I'm really looking forward to just sitting with it. I know he just dropped the video for Tell Your Friends, which is dope, which also seems like, I mean, this is not come home and bring you flowers and breakfast in bed. Like, even the video got some edge to it. So did you like the video? Did you peep the video for Tell Your Friends?
I did. Man, it gave me feelings, like Kanye produced it, and it gave me feelings of... You would probably remember.
Flashing Lights?
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Flashing Lights. Yeah, shout out to Rita G, man, wherever she's at, man. Yeah,
but definitely. Do you think, I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't seen it, but it seemed like he was burying himself.
Yeah.
So is that kind of a metaphor for burying the old dark, druggy Weeknd?
That's interesting.
I'm buried this old Weeknd, and we're going to get some motherfucking money right now. Nah, Yeah, I mean, but listen, you know, I always say this too about singers, songwriters. I mean, it's great to be underground and kind of cult and have this cult following, but I feel like anybody who does music, like, essentially the goal is, right, to write songs that the whole world can sing.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can't do that being underground forever. And, you know, I think he's earned that right. Like, he's paid his dues, and, yeah, I Can't Feel My Face is a great song.
And I think he's slowly transitioned into what, you know, he's doing now, which is a beautiful thing, because even, you know, Wanderlust and all these songs, it's like slowly you started feeling a little bit of groove in it, and now he's at this point, and it's like, I mean, why would he put out what, three four projects all in that dark kind of image? And eventually, I think if you want to really branch out, grow, you know, and really look at the real money, you know, that's what you're gonna do as an artist. So,
and not that he was hurting for money, but even just the notoriety. Like, we're looking at the MTV Video Music Awards. Shout out to my MTV family. Is coming up on Sunday, and he's one of the main performers. He was the first performer that was announced. Like, and that's kind of the thing that everybody is looking forward to this weekend, besides whatever craziness Miley Cyrus is going to bring to the stage. But, you know, he's earned that right. Like, you know, and you got to seize it. Like, you know, MJ owned that stage every time he got up on it. Like, this is what you work so hard for. So, you know, I look forward to it. And we'll be talking about it more. We're actually going to go deep into this album next week after we all gotten the chance to really, really sit with it. But, you know, real quick, you know, we're going to come back. Jamie is here. This is R&B's in the building. But we had a special interview this week that we had to pre-record, man. And this week's guest, I mean, he was gracious enough to be on the show. And he couldn't make it into the studio, but he sat down with me in his hotel room during the recent visits in New York. He dropped his first LP, Ghetto Love, in 2001 and captivated us with his first single, Could It Be? And then followed that up with Just In Case. For 15 years, he's given us a thug's take on R&B without ever trying to be a rapper. He's back with his new single, Back In My Arms, and an upcoming album on the way with Primary Wave later this year. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to check out this interview I did with my man, Jaheim. Here it is. Jaheim, man, welcome.
Welcome
to the Red Light Special, man. I appreciate you being a guest today, man. I know you out here running around the city doing your 1-2, so this time is important. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.
Wanted to talk to you, I mean, because it was really dope to hear you have a new single, Back In My Arms. And, you know, a lot of what we discuss here on the Red Light Special is the feeling of R&B music and how, even with this new generation of artists, and not to down anybody, but, you know, not many people are singing about love anymore. Even new artists are singing, but almost singing like they're rappers, you know what I mean? And this one felt like something I could really play with my lady, you know, and kind of get in the mood to. So, Back In My Arms, man, just talk about the decision to record this and what brought this on for you.
Oh, Back In My Arms is pretty much an experience that I went through, and pretty much everybody that came to the table to write the record, such as Bilal Muhammad, Cliff Lighty, same writers I grew up writing with in the business. But just collectively, us three coming together and taking some of my thoughts, and through their experiences, we were able to put together the puzzle.
Okay.
So, how did it come about, realistically? An old movie theme in my head that I just couldn't get away from. So, okay. It's always good to vent. Ventilation is the key.
Right.
So if you go through something and you can write about it, it's good, because you're venting. You're basically crying, and you're pouring out of your heart from all the poison that you've been carrying around.
Right. You know, you definitely got your own vibe and your own sound and have had. So, I mean, we're talking about over 15 years, maybe going close to 20 years now. Of when you've been in this game. But, man, hearing this
am
song.
Am I that old, man?
Nah, you that young. You that experienced, brother.
Nah, I'm just messing.
But yeah. Listening to this kind of gave me something. I call it like a little Luther vibe to it, if I may. And I hate making those comparisons, especially to legends. But it really felt evoked the feeling like Luther Vandross. It was just one of those classic love songs that we don't get no more. Was Luther at all the inspiration, or am I tripping? Am I reaching?
Luther was definitely one of my inspirations. My first inspiration was my grandfather, who was a late 60s, early 70s soul singer,
right,
with the legendary Drifters.
Yep.
And solo career, and learning about his career throughout the years of my career, but not knowing in the beginning stages, just knowing that he sang and not knowing the history. And after it all came about, it just made sense. Like, wow. You know, history repeats itself.
That's dope. So, you know, in the story of Back in My Arms, is basically a man.
But before you go there,
okay,
Luther was definitely my influential Whitney Houston coming up was one of my first influences. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but she was one of them, and her voice was just so appealing to what we hear outside of what we've seen that tarnished some of the artists in the business. And, you know, that's just life, you know, but her voice was what captivated me at an early age of like 4 or 5.
Right, wow.
I didn't know I was going to be a singer.
Right.
And, you know, just coming to existence of my family's, you know, gift and passion, which was singing, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, both sides.
Right.
So this was something that was really created. So that's really the real reason, you know what I mean? Okay. But Luther was definitely an influence. He was one of the ones that I just studied. He was the one for me. But I didn't pick him up and say, I'm going to listen to this guy. Right. I'm going to study this guy. It wasn't that made me study him. He was actually given to me. I was somewhat of the same story of Malcolm X. Incarcerated young age, juvenile, I think, but
right.
Running wild. At the time when he dyed his hair and all that.
Yeah.
I don't think I dyed my hair, but.
Detroit Red, you wasn't Jaheim Red?
I probably did. You never know, man. We used to do so much stuff when we was kids. My uncle used to put the cuts in our hair, the boxes, and look like computers and all kind of name tags with a dye in your hair and all that.
Okay.
I had a Gumby, all kind of haircut. But, and particularly, where were we just at?
Malcolm X, you said you was incarcerated.
When I was incarcerated, it was something about me that this Muslim brother, Jakeem Keem, saw in me. I don't know if he's even living to this day, but I will never forget this moment because this is history.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I didn't know who Luther was.
Wow.
And I don't think I would have cared for it, to be honest with you. Probably like songs like Never Too Much, and mm-hmm. you know, like just like songs that you like.
Right, yeah.
We from a different environment, so it's like we don't. Then if you're musically inclined, I can't say that. But if you the environment I'm used to being in the hood, from the hood, you know, and you grow up in that environment, it's kind of like Marvin Gaye growing up in Washington D.C. It's the hood,
right?
It's the experience and the testimony that we all go through and we write about through song. And you get better and better over time. You grow with people that you put around you to make you become this great Superman. And you get greater and greater, honestly. The more you put your time into it, the better experience you're gonna get out of it.
And it's dope, we could definitely see the growth within your career. But Back in My Arms, you know, I wanted to ask you about this because this is the story about a man, you know, I'm assuming you, who lost love and hoping that one day, you know, she'll end up back in your arms where she's supposed to be. You got the picture in your wallet still.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still reminiscing on this love.
I didn't write the song by myself, but I did like kind of shoot the concept because, again, it was lost love in my mind, but a hurtful pain that I felt is the world kind of went through a lot of this too. I can't be the only person that has feelings like this
at all.
And it's real, but you know, you got to learn how to let go, you know, and to receive love again. just I wasn't ready to receive love again. I was just in love with this love that I messed up. You know, could have had it, but you know, I wasn't ready for it.
I was gonna ask you, to what lengths? What's maybe some of the greatest lengths that Jaheim had gone?
I can't even say I lost love because I kind of walked away from love. It was presented in a certain manner, and me knowing who I am as a man and as the type of person and the character that I breed, I couldn't, you know, go against my morals. So I'd rather have walked away with everything, you know, my self-character, my personality, integrity, you know, definition of who I am as a man, period. You know, what I built in my life throughout these years. Some people feel as though they can change you, or not even change you, but more like, you know, they redefine you to be something that they're not, you know, and not even necessarily to say pointing any fingers or nothing like that. It wasn't nothing like that. It was just a time that two people just didn't agree.
Right.
And it's like that. You just got to keep it moving.
You can't change people. We got to be who we are. So Jaheim has never had to try to win a woman back? Has this ever happened with you?
You know what? I don't think I ever had to, but I tried to.
Right.
A few times.
You lucky man.
Sometimes that's what real love is, though. When you see, the thing about love is people don't understand this one thing. I'm a person that's committed to love. If I love you, I love you. We're together. Now, you can't just simply just throw that away. You know what I mean? Even when you've been hard and sophisticated in your mind and just ignoring temptation that was knocking on that door, but still, the love that was built and created, you know, you just don't throw that away. You don't just dive into something new. And I'm not saying it like, you know, I was hurting, this is what happened to me. But in my mind, you know, in order for you to heal, you have to, you know, give that time to go. And that's pretty much what I did.
Okay. You know, when you talked about how you came up, and you definitely came up hard and being incarcerated and things of that nature. I mean, you hear R&B now, and it's very much a lot of the artists today kind of come off like rappers and really come off like street cats. You were almost a blueprint for that early on with, like, it was just street love. It was like love records. It was R&B music in its purest form. But it like a song like Just In Case I Don't Make It Home Tonight. I think for a lot of brothers who may be out on them corners or doing wrong, whatever, was they love song for they lady and something real. See, but you didn't make it sound like a rapper. You wasn't a rapper. It just sounded hard, and it sounded like love at the same time.
It was pretty much you just knowing what you want as an artist. My thing was, I knew I had this Luther Teddy Pendergrass thing as a young man, but didn't know it was really Teddy Pendergrass. But I knew because one of the girls that I used to talk to brought me a CD. It was like, you sound like him, you know what I mean?
And this was Teddy that she gave
you? This was Teddy Pendergrass. Okay. And I'm looking on the credits, and these songs said written by Luther Vandross. So it was really weird for me, learning, experiencing. But this was before I even really initiated singing, like realistically singing. I used to sing around in the streets. You had to catch me. You know, I wouldn't just stop and just sing if you asked me. But I was shy. But, yeah.
What was it like? Because when you hooked up and you got on, hooked up with Devon Mills and KG, a big production force, and obviously he had, you know, success from Naughty by Nature. Like, they were huge at the time, and that KG sound was huge. And then here comes Jaheim in a part of that camp and with that sound. What were those days like? What do you remember most from that time?
I think with me and KG, we both experienced something new and rare. And it was different than what was presented to the world in previous years. And it was really special, really special. We sold millions of records.
You sure did.
And it was a chemistry. It's a chemistry because we're still, you know, communicating and such, but we just, you know, he's doing his own thing and I'm doing my own thing. Mm. And, you know, maybe at some point we'll come together. But the KG sound, it's infamous and it's original. It's pure and everybody knows it. Like KG he's like a genius. Mm. But he's quiet, you know what I mean?
I feel like honestly, when we talk about great producers, I feel like he's underrated. I mean,
because when you're quiet and you sit back, it's cool to sit back.
Right.
Like for me, I'm here now and I'm starting all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be quiet this time. I'm going to show off.
Please don't.
Because you have to show off. You have to show the world what you're about. If right. you become the shy guy, then you'll come across as the shy guy. He's only going to open up every once in a while. So people would expect you to fall in your shell every now and then, or you to slip up.
Well, I see you on Snapchat now, and your Snapchat is popping. You're definitely not. Where can people follow you on Snapchat? To everybody listening out there, if you don't follow Jaheim on Snapchat, you're missing out.
So, look, if you follow me, Official Jaheim, right? I don't know about Snapchat, to be honest with you, but I'm just snapping mad pictures.
Right, you look like you're having mad fun, brother.
Yeah, I am, man. I'm that's just good. Having fun, man.
Yo, one question that I always wanted to ask you, tell me if I was making this up in my head, but I feel like there was a time when you and Cameron discussed, or somebody discussed, that there was going to be a Cameron Jaheim project. I know you did tracks like Lord You Know, and there was a bunch of collaborations that got fans excited early on.
I think what happened in that situation, I like Cameron for the record a lot. And he was one of the formal reasons why I decided to do a lot of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Busta Rhymes was one of my favorite guys because he was, you know, like leaders in the new school growing up watching him.
For sure.
And then actually seeing this brother at the airport and him asking me to do some work with him, which I was a rookie. I was a baby. And I didn't know nobody, know nothing about nothing. And it just, he liked what he heard. And he paid me on time and everything. It was like, I was like, word. You know, this is the best experience for me. You know, like I would say Busta Rhymes is truly underrated. He's one of the greatest.
Yeah.
Not only infamous with the mic, lyricist, creative, it's all there, man.
His videos were unmatched. He gave us probably some of the best videos ever. He's definitely a creative brother.
And it's a couple other people in hip hop, but Cameron for sure I think I like Cameron so much because he reminds me of my cousin.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people always say, y'all look alike. Yeah. So when I had the opportunity to present itself, it was definitely when hip-hop came in my direction, it was to deal with, you know, the hardest cat, you know, who was the hottest cat. I would have loved to have done records with Jay-Z and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm patient, and time comes when time comes. And I actually had a chance to meet Jay-Z.
Okay.
It was very awkward for me because I'm a big fan.
Right.
Like, big fan. Like, right. You know, I'm a prodigal. The same environment, you know. I know all about the Brooklyn thing. You know, I'm always out there and I got a lot of family out there. Shout out to East New York.
Okay, bet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Flatbush.
Yeah, I'm from Flatbush, so you already know.
And boy, and picking, you know what I mean? Yeah, all of that.
So big Jay-Z fan.
Yeah, but Jay-Z, man, like, how can I start, like even saying his name? You got to really know a person when you really say their name.
Right.
Everybody be like, yeah, this person, that. But an era of me coming up in the wars, in the streets, having beef with cats. You see the war scars?
Yeah, I see the scars. The listeners can't see it, but there are definitely scars.
But this is what we were listening to.
Right.
Real hustling music.
Right.
And it made us survive. Mm-hmm. It taught us how to hustle. It taught us how to do all of these things. There's a lot of MCs and a lot of rappers out there that are dope too. And you know, I'm a product of that environment. You know what I mean? Yeah. I grew up doing those type of things. You know, I didn't just write in these songs about what you heard, and I just made that up. Nah,
stuff.
These songs is real, you know.
That's dope. And I always appreciated that because you always represented that. But again, you never tried to be a rapper. You never tried. Nah. You never tried to be nothing but what
I'm
you
not
are.
A rapper, man. But my younger brother's a rapper. Real, real dope MC.
That's dope.
A lot of my artists are rappers. And I'm always checking for talent. Right. I could rap, though. Don't get twisted. I can freestyle a little bit. I ain't going to get on the mic.
I'm just saying, you got a mic. We could do it.
I ain't going to get on the mic. I'm going to leave it like that, all right?
It's Jaheim bars. You just got two quick bars for Jaheim. Finally, man, you got this new deal with Primary Wave.
Primary Wave.
And a new album coming out. When can we expect and what can we expect from this album?
First and foremost, I want to say big up to Primary Wave for acknowledging the talent that a lot of people lost faith in.
Right.
Or a lot of people didn't see what they brought to the table. And it was time. I gave people time. In this business, you have to understand that you have to continue to work hard. You know, you can never stop and take days off. And the odds are definitely against you. In the beginning days, you're a slave. You have to work.
Right.
And, you know, they're the masters.
Mm.
You know, so once you understand how the business goes, you know, things slow down for me by choice, not because, you know, people didn't buy my records. Because the records are continuously selling.
Right.
Album through album, even when there's no promotion. At times you may wake up, you may see an album at 500,000, 800,000, or 300,000. Then you look at some of the other artists, and you say, with heavy promotion and radio and all of this, et cetera, and not to no discredit to anyone else. But you look at the sales, and the sales are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the difference when you make timeless music.
Yeah. Or you look at the sales and you say, wow, this guy's been on radio for 58 weeks, number one record, but the record ain't really selling. Right. You know, it's selling. It's not to discredit again, but it's a learning thing that you learn with the business. And like, I've always been a number one seller,
right,
in my mind, in my heart, knowing that, you know, we was putting this thing together and people was ready to receive it. You know, right, like 1.9, first album, 1.5. The numbers change because a company would understand that, okay, we're spending this much money right here and we're getting like this. The first time, you don't have to spend that much to get that much back. But if you can get 1.5,
right,
it's just as good.
Right.
You know?
And you spend a little less money. And now?
But when I left that company, that chemistry changed. Although I wasn't disenfranchised. I was still able to motivate through another leg of the company, which was the sister company to Atlantic Warner Brothers, which I started out at Warner Brothers and did all of that, all of my history there, which I continued to make great process throughout the years from 2006 to now.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And you're now Primary Wave. So the new album, when are we going to get the new album?
The new album, I was just informed, man. They thinking about November, man. I'm thinking about September.
Okay.
I'm thinking about September.
We'll take September. Can we do September?
I could understand why. It's right. Probably time to heat it up.
Right.
And I feel the same way because throughout the years, we have been just putting out music and just throwing it out and not really supporting it to its full content, you know? And for me, like I said, we're not slaves. So if you want to work, you have to work.
Right.
And you gotta pay people. I'm not saying that I'm not getting paid, but that's not the case.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Nah, man, but definitely, man, we look forward to what's next. I mean, Back in My Arms sounds, like I said, amazing. It's that timeless music. And
yeah, man.
It's dope to see you coming back and being Jaheim. Like, you're not coming back having to be somebody else or fit in. What's going on now? You dropped a dope record as yourself.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that.
People are reacting
that.
And loving it.
Before I signed this deal with Primary Wave, man, I honestly, I'm talking to all y'all, I didn't know where I was really headed. I just knew that again, I had this great product, like always. And they were like, yo, take this little bit of money. Take this little bit of money. We can put you in the studio. And, you know, it seemed good because the times do change when you go from a major label to an all independent label. Mm-hmm. And you basically doing your own business, but it's not official. So what really put the stamp on it all was when I reinstated my corporation. Mm-hmm. And just went after that, Julie's Dream.
Dope. Super dope.
And the dream is never going to stop, man. Like, it's never going to stop, man. Like, I pray that people watch me and learn something. Because I don't have all the answers, but I know that I don't plan to fail. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't have all the answers. I'm going to have fun with it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to watch all the greats, and we're going to learn from them, and we're going to make some of those great mistakes.
Right.
Because we're human, you know what I mean?
And then those great moments too, not just the mistakes, the wins, and you're going to inspire others that come after you.
It's really called hard work, bro. When you work hard, you're going to trip a little, you're going to cut yourself a little bit, scrape up, but hey, you'll heal up, you'll be all
right. Right. And we're here now. Yo, Jaheim, man, I always say that two of the most valuable things in life is time, because you can never get that back, and energy. You know, where you put your energy into is very valuable. Wow. And I appreciate both your time and your energy, brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to do this. And for you to sit down here with us today, man, means the world to me. And we're going to support you through this journey.
Yeah.
All right?
Time is money, man.
Peace. All right.
Time is money, and money is time. Don't play your games, girl, and I won't play mine. Just a touch of you. No, no. What you know about that?
I was just letting you go.
You did it, bro.
I was just letting you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there it was. This is the Red Light Special with Rob Markman, Kristen Coral, and we have our guest Jamie Wexler from This Is R&B with us. What you just heard was an intimate sit down that I got to do with Jaheim during a recent, you know, visit to New York, man. And again, I just got to thank Jaheim and his people for allowing us to, you know, just get so close. Like, you know, it's one thing to come to the studio, but he was like, nah, man, come to the hotel. Like, let's kick it. Let's break bread. And he was really honest and open throughout the whole thing. But, you know, I want to talk to you guys. Jamie, I'll start with you, because I actually saw Back in My Arms the first time I heard it, is I saw it posted on This Is R&B. Jaheim's new single, man. What do you think of it?
It's good. It caters to, I think, his age now. And whether it's good or bad, it's you know, the urban AC crowd for sure. It's classic Jaheim, you know. You hear it and you, like, his tone is just, it's special, you know. He's such a special artist. So I enjoyed it. I don't know how it's doing on the charts. I haven't checked, but, you know, I think it's pretty solid.
Right. Chris, what's up, man? Did you hear this song? What do you think of Jaheim Back in My Arms?
I did. I think the same thing Jamie said, you know, it's more of in his age. It's just, we know Jaheim to be, you know, the classic kind of like R&B singer who always told ghetto tales and stuff in his R&B records. But this is a very soulful, because Jaheim is a soulful singer, very soulful singer. So I like it. You know, I definitely like it. I think if we could get a little more of this, and, you know, it'd be great.
Right. The reason why I rock with this record is because, I mean, R&B is in a different place, and you touched on it, Jamie, the AC crowd, the adult contemporary crowd, is different. It's older. It's probably like our moms and our aunts and our stuff and the stuff that they listen to. But for me, it's dope because it kind of breaks up the vibe. Like, I love Party Next Door. Like, I love The Weeknd. Like, you know, all that stuff is hitting right now, and it feels very right now. But sometimes it's certain records that capture a certain feeling that those don't capture, and I felt like Jaheim did that. In a lot of ways, Back in My Arms, and I told him this in the interview, reminds me of a Luther Vandross record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got like that Luther vibe. And, you know, since Luther passed, like, and even, you know, I guess so, because even when he passed, Luther was still making Luther music. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't fell off. Like, he had the Dance With My Father, the, you know, record and all of that, which is very Luther-esque. I feel like we haven't had like a Luther-type record in R&B for a while, so Jaheim provided that, man. So,
yeah,
it's definitely refreshing, I think.
It's different. Do you have a favorite Jaheim song, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm partial to the first album.
All right.
Ghetto Love, Just In Case and Anything. Could it be Remix? Could it be Remixes? So classic.
That Anything with Next, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything with Next. But I think I was going through his albums when he told me you did the interview, and I was glad because I kind of almost forgot about some of the songs, like the first track on his, I believe, Ghetto Classics album is The Chosen One.
Yeah.
And that was such a favorite of mine back then, and I kind of hadn't, I don't think I've heard it in a long time, so I was like, oh, wow. This is my joint right here. I love the soul sample that they used in it.
Yeah. Yeah, he always picked the right samples too, man. Like, Chris, did you have a favorite Jahim song?
Put That Woman First, by far.
Of course.
And not just, but you know what though, like, when I think of Jahim, I feel like that's the first song that comes to mind for, and not just me, but for a lot of women, you know. Men, they like Just In Case. It's a more fun song.
But Just In Case was real.
Like, yeah, it is. Even though it's fun, it's like, if you really listen to the words, what he's saying in the song, it's like, you know, but Put That Woman First to me is like, mm-hmm. kind of like Alicia Keys' Diary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's very, you know, it makes a woman feel special and appreciated. And it's very complimenting. I mean, I think me, along with every other woman in this world, loves that song. And it defines a good Jahim moment.
Right. That's what was dope about him, was that balance that he could do Just In Case. Like, Just In Case was a love song, but again, it was like that R&B thug lane.
Mm-hmm.
Without him being a rapper, he didn't spit bars. He freestyled two bars in this interview, which I think was dope. Like, he was like, yo, I always, you know, I could rap. Like, he spit two bars. But
love that.
Just In Case was like from a street element, but purely R&B. Like, it wasn't like a hip hop swagger.
It still had a groove, yeah. You know?
And a lot of that is KG, like, you know, and Devon Mills. But, like, KG as a producer, I think, is so underrated, especially on the R&B side. Because he had, back then, it was like Jahim. He was behind Coffee Brown. Mm-hmm. He was behind Next.
Mm-hmm.
Like, KG on the low is a beast with it. And if you stack up KG's hits, like, you could put KG up against anybody. Jermaine Dupri. We spoke about...
His name comes up so often.
Yeah, because last week, because Sway tried to pit, was like, oh, who's better, Jermaine Dupri or Teddy Riley? And it's clearly Teddy Riley, but no disrespect to Jermaine Dupri, but right. KG belongs in those conversations. Whether he tops anybody is to your preference, mm-hmm. but KG,
his catalog.
At his best, his catalog is crazy.
Yeah.
I think my favorite Jahim song actually is probably Fabulous.
Mm.
Like, one, if you put Kid singing in the song, you got me. And then two, it reminded me, again, it's like records that nobody make anymore. It reminds me of like when Sounds of Blackness did Optimistic, or it's like these uplifting songs, like for the hood. My only regret with Fabulous, I always thought Loso should get on the remix. I'm like, yo, why is it?
Yeah, every time I see the title, I kind of confuse it with a feature, and I'm like, ah,
only. I'm like, yo, why is it Fabulous? And really, though, it sonically, it doesn't fit. Like, it's not even really built for a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've heard Fab get on like every R&B record.
Fab is the R&B featured artist. Like, that's just him.
Nah, Fabulous is definitely probably my favorite Jahim record. And you know, it's dope. And then in the interview, he talked about how much he was because first he started off in jail. I don't think a lot of people knew that. Like, he started out like locked up, like, and you know, he was a real street dude.
That's where the ghetto-ness comes from.
But who just, like, loved Luther Vandross and Teddy Pendergrass. And it was, like, it was a different type of vibe, man. So I look forward to his album, you know, when it comes out. I hope. And it doesn't seem like he's comfortable who he is, so it doesn't look like he's going to try to be, you know, he's not going to try to be, like, Party Next Door. I'm pretty sure you're not going to hear any auto-tune on this album. And, like, he's going to stay Jahim, which is cool.
I'm okay with that.
But it goes back to a question that I have, though. Is he, where does he rank in all the R&B thugs? You know what I'm saying? Because we got this R&B thug vibe. I think Kells sometimes falls into that lane. I think Jodeci, you know, might have invented that lane of R&B thug. And then, you know, now you got kind of a lot of singers who kind of carry themselves more like rappers than anything else. But where does Jahim fall in that R&B thug conversation?
Wow. I don't know if I'd even want to rank it.
Right.
But he's really high up there. You know, Jodeci is a group, And I think Puff had a lot to do with the image. But as far as single, solo R&B singers from that era, I think he might be the top. I'm not sure if you have another one that you would say. I mean, Life Jennings came a little bit after that.
Ooh, yeah.
And he had a shorter run, I think, if anything, too.
And now, you know, he's kind of just transitioned himself to being the grown and sexy guy, but you still feel that tough vibe still, you know?
I ain't gonna front. Like, I was with him, you know, and spent some time with him. He was cool, total cool dude, but there was something about him that I felt like he could just snap and, like, Jaheim might fuck you up, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Chris, what about you? Who's your favorite R&B thug?
Honestly, I don't think we have too many solo R&B quote-unquote thugs. You know, and even R. Kelly, like, I don't really look at him like a thug image. I feel like what gives Jaheim that image is his, like, the deepness in his voice. He has such a deep, like, dominant voice, and it's soulful, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, even the way he titled his albums, Ghetto Love, Still Ghetto, you know, all of that is just...
Remember when Trey Songz was out here with the cornrows, like,
yeah,
looking like Allen Iverson a little bit?
But that was soft Trey Songz too.
Nah, but Trey used to fight back in the day. Like, there was definitely stories of Trey Songz out there throwing hands.
He was just young. That was his. I mean, you know, he was a kid. That was his look. You know,
I don't know.
I don't know if you would still consider him that.
August Alsina.
Yeah,
I don't know. August Alsina might be today's number one, man. When he just went on beat, he said, man, so you're just gonna go against the grain, huh? You're just gonna go, yo, man.
August is so dope, though.
Yeah, he's hood as hell, though.
Yeah.
Oh, nah, man, that's dope. So we look forward to the Jaheim album when it's coming out, man. Just for me, more than anything else, I don't know if it's gonna be his best album that he ever puts out, or if he'll top kind of the catalog that he has. But for me, at least, it's just gonna break up some of the monotony that's going on in the genre, man. So we look forward to that. Chris, I want to throw to you. I mean, because since Jamie says he got a new web series coming, right? And he says that it's a relationship based, right?
Right.
We do a segment where every week we take, we give relationship advice. So I feel like, you know, you already got your sponsors lined up, so they're not going to take the money away. But we're going to see what type of relationship advice Jaime gives, man, to our listeners.
Going to put him in the hot seat. Ooh.
You down for that?
We could try it.
And for anybody listening, don't forget the email is redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. So send us any questions or issues you're having. We definitely like to help out and give a little bit of insight. I got two today that I wanted to
Real quick, to too, before over. You get into that. Anybody that we've given advice to in the past, hit us back up and let us know how it worked out. Because, I mean, I think we'd be giving good advice, man, but we might just be fucking your whole lives up right now. But hit us back, man. Let us know how it turned out.
And shout out to the person who we actually spoke about, a guy who the girl wouldn't take his last name. He wanted to marry his fiance, and they ended up getting married. So congratulations to you guys.
They got married already? That was like 2 weeks ago.
They got married. We sent us an email. They definitely got married. She took the last name.
She did take the last name.
Got
him. Told you, son.
You guys were real serious. You know, he took that advice.
Yeah.
He was like, uh-oh, I better.
He wrote back. He's like, we got married. I'm like, oh, that's
congratulations
awesome,
to y'all and the beautiful bride, man. Listen, it's compromise. Relationships are give and take. You took his last name. Now, you know, you get to give him hell for the rest of his life. Get at it.
All right, so let's get into it. All right, so I have somebody who wrote in. He said, what's up, man? Me and my girl are good, so I don't have any crazy issues to resolve, but I do have a slight problem. My mom and her don't have the best relationship. They get along, but it's kind of like they just get by. My mom always is talking about her energy and how it's just not right. She's too quiet. She feels like my girl doesn't communicate enough. But I just want them to get along just as they should. What do you guys think?
Wow. That's so hard. You know, I think that's probably one of the most common issues that couples have, is trying to have the whole family get along. I don't know if there's one particular thing that you can do to make two people see eye to eye necessarily, but the only advice is really just try to find something that they have in common. There's got to be some little common ground that they can find. And, you know, you just hope that it works out, because, you know, all those family gatherings, you don't want to be rude or anything, you know, or it's not happy. You want to all get along. But I don't know. I don't know what type of advice you can necessarily tell someone to do in that certain situation.
Yeah, it's hard.
Other than just try to have them communicate.
What do you think, Rob?
Listen, you're going to have to sit your mother down and talk to your mother. She's going to have to fall back a little bit, I think. I mean, this is coming from me. I'm not a mama's boy necessarily. And, you know, I love my mom to death. But, you know, I do see some men out there, especially when they get into relationships, like their mom kind of steers it. I've never been that type. I respect my mother, but, you know, your mom should respect your relationship. You know, if she's out here doing you wrong, if she, you know, got a bunch of different baby fathers, and, you know, she might be cheating on you and your mom is just looking out for your best interest, I can understand that maybe a little bit more if it was like a trifling relationship. But it sounds like it's a good relationship and your mom is just maybe a little concerned that she's a little quiet, or, you know, she doesn't communicate much. Your mother has to leave that between you and your lady. You know, like, you guys define the level of communication that you need. So I don't know. I think mom dudes need to take a step back just a little bit and let your relationship grow and flourish. Like, even right now, if your lady's not if y'all not communicating, y'all can grow into that. You know what I mean? But with your mother hanging over you, it might be, you know, just like suffocating to the relationship. So tell your mom to step back a little bit.
I'm so happy you said that, because I think, like, one of my biggest pet peeves with men in relationships is men being mama's boys. Like, you got to have love for your mother. And, you know, I love family-oriented people in general, like men, women, whatever it is. But I feel like, again, like you said, Rob, she's good in the relationship if she's not causing issues or problems, if she's not being rude, or there's nothing directly about her that's off, then maybe she's just not, she hasn't been brought up the same way that he was, or that she expects, you know, her to be. You know, you can't push people to be more energetic or, you know, talk more than they do. And, you know, maybe that's something that she could work on too. Maybe, like you said, Jamie, they could find something that they both like to do and just take them out together, and, you know, the fun will come out eventually. But I think, you know, just give it time. And definitely on the mom's part, I think, you know, maybe she's being a little too needy. You know, the relationship is about them too, not her and the girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell your mom's a mom of business. She in a business. Oh, you don't remember that. It's an old school. Shout out to K-Solo.
Rob always rapping on here. I wanted to get into one more, though.
Also, I said all that because my mother doesn't listen to this podcast. So
you're not going to get slapped.
She would slap me, too.
We have baby daddy issues, though. We have somebody who said, I have two kids on the way by two different females.
Oh, okay.
One is pressuring me for money, more money than I feel I should give. She wants me to give her $1,000 a month or pay her rent every month. I feel like we should just figure out how much monthly costs for the baby will be, and I'll take care of that. I don't have any kids yet, so this is all new to me, and it's just giving me a headache.
Dang. I'm thankful I haven't had to deal with that myself. man, I think he's got to just hope that they can come to an agreement, because I know when you get the courts involved, they start looking at your taxes and all that crazy stuff and your finances, and they try to determine what it really will be, and it might be a lot more than he wants to pay. So if there's any way that he can get her to take that that amount that he's cool with, hopefully she will. I don't know.
Me, see, yeah, it depends on how much he's making now, because $1,000 a month or
a month.
Paycheck. I don't know. I never had to pay no child support. I just support my children. Like, you know, I live with my kids. I live with my family, so it's different. I might actually suggest, unless he's making a lot of money, to where it might seem like this is a deal, I would actually say take it to the courts and let the courts decide how much you should pay, because at least is that if you guys work it out between yourselves, you're going to have a lot of trust mm-hmm. between her. And what I would say is definitely get money orders, get receipts, like don't give her cash, because then she could just say if courts do get involved down the line and y'all just came to a handshake agreement, then it's like, okay, you haven't been paying. What I would do is try to get this thing done official as possible. Go to the courts, let the courts decide, you know, how much she needs, how much she deserves, how much it takes based off of your income. But if you don't want to take it to the courts, the one thing I would just say, man, is get receipts, leave a paper trail for every dollar that you give, because if you don't, I mean, I know brothers who give money every month and give cash, and then you turn around and she'll go to the courts and say, yo, he didn't pay me nothing, and you have no way to prove it. And then you owe all this back. So, like, I've seen it, you know. So everybody that I know that pays child support, I got people that pay child support, the courts just make it easier, man. Like, it just is what it is. Boom, here, take that. It comes right out your check. Most of the time, you ain't even got to pay it out. And, you know, it's just easier that way.
I think it sucks to have to be dealing with financial, you know, like, give me $1,000 or pay my rent. I mean, first of all, how much is your rent? But I don't know. It's hard. I do feel like maybe the courts, because usually I hear of situations where the courts, you know, they determine an amount, and then usually somebody's complaining, like, I'm not getting enough. So if you feel like $1,000 is too much for you to be paying every single month, then, you know, do what Rob said. Go to the court, and you'll probably end up paying half of that, depending on how much you make, again. And I don't know how all of that works, but I think there just has to be a line of communication. You know, if you're having, you guys are having a kid together. I mean, money's not really the only issue that's going to come up in that relationship, and you have another kid on the way, that's more financial, you know what I mean, issues for you. But mm-hmm. I think you should just communicate, man. Like, it's the beginning, so I know things are rough and, you know, everything's a headache, but it'll work itself out. I think if you could afford $1,000 a month, just you know, it sounds like she kind of maybe doesn't make as much if she's asking for you to pay her rent, you know, just do it. $1,000 a month is really nothing, so depends. I mean, you got to think about all the expenses.
Depends on how much you make. Yeah, but babies are expensive. Kids are expensive. And, you know, for me, like, you should want to support. And it doesn't sound like he doesn't want to support. He just wants to do what's fair, right? But, I mean, one of the proudest things that I do all the time is support my kids and support my family and know that I could put food on the table and clothes on their back. Like, as a man, mm-hmm. that's a hell of a feeling. You know, as a parent, that has to be a hell of a feeling. So I'm sure you want to partake in that. But whatever you do, man, get receipts.
Yeah, definitely.
Samir's shaking his head. Samir, you want child support?
No.
Oh, okay.
No
child support? Samir, yo, one time, too, I want to shout out Samir. Samir's our engineer over here at the Red Light Special, man. He takes care of us. He keeps us sounding right. And we don't give him enough props, man. So shout out to you. But Samir also says to get receipts. He's shaking it. He's giving it a thumbs up.
Samir's got a good head on his shoulders.
You're not on child support. No. Okay. You sure?
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay.
Trying to air him out, Rob.
No, I'm just asking, because he looked real adamant about his advice. He was like, hell yeah. I was like, I thought you've been through something. Nah, we're good. That's dope. So, Chris, tell them where they can send if they want to holler at us again.
At RLS Podcast, if you want to, you know, just talk about whatever we've spoken about on the episodes, if you want to, you know, give us your thoughts and your feedback, it's RLS Podcast. Our emails are redlightspecialpc@gmail.com. So, again, send in anything that either you or somebody else might be going through. We always get our guests to chime in and give us a little bit of insight, so it's always fun to do. And you can just hit me on Twitter at Chris Lover, KRISLOVAA.
All right, that's what's up. Yo, and shout out to that couple again that got married, man. That's dope. Mm-hmm. Hit us back. Let us know what y'all wedding song was. I'm interested in that.
Ooh,
that's a good one, right?
That's
yeah,
a good
why
one.
Not? Jamie, man, what's good, man? What you got going on next? Where can they find you?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, always go to thisisrnb.com, and the handle on social media is thisisrnb. And, you know, we're just keeping it moving, mm-hmm. coming up with the web series, like I said, and more original content, and, you know, whenever new music comes out, new R&B music, new videos, check us out.
All right, man. And we're always here to support, man. Like, whatever Appreciate you need, man. Like, you're family to us now. Like, you show love when nobody would. Not that nobody wouldn't, but he was just one of the first to show love, mm-hmm. which is, like, amazing to me because it came out of nowhere. And me, I'm Rob Markman, so you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Markman, R-O-B-M-A-R-K-M-A-N. You could check me out on genius.com. I'm at Genius now. Actually, too, I got a funny story real quick. I was listening to Rego Love's Turn the Lights on Friday night and just, like, thinking, like, damn, if this don't get a Grammy nomination. Like, I really love that album. And I woke up the next morning with Turn the Lights On stuck in my head. So I went to Genius, and I annotated the whole song. Like, so I gave the whole meaning for Turn the Lights On. So go to genius.com.
The record, check or us you out. Did the, a couple songs?
No, the first, the TTLO. The record. Yeah, the very first record. But that's going to be a personal pet project of mine over at Genius. Is I'm going to do the whole Rego Love album, because it is one of my favorite albums of the year, so I'm gonna go track by track. But those things take, you know, a lot of work goes into.
I'm so happy that they have somebody who knows what they're doing, though, because sometimes you look at the lyrics and sometimes you look at the annotations and you're like, I thought it was this, or it seems like, you know, but I'm just happy that they have somebody who really knows what they're doing. So. You know,
just real quick, too, and disclaimer, like, one of the things that I learned when I got there, I think one of the common misconceptions is that is somebody who doesn't know anything about music in the office putting up these lyrics and annotations. And actually, it's community
driven.
It's
a lot of people, though, isn't it?
It's fans. Like, yeah, it's anybody, fans. Like, you can sign up, Jamie mm-hmm. can sign up, and, you know, sometimes some fans are more knowledgeable than others, but there's a real hardcore committed group of users over there in the community who kind of police and edit it. So if they see an annotation that goes up that doesn't really fit the bill, you know, they'll do what they can to fix it and edit it and get it right. It's just that there's millions and millions and millions of songs. So it's definitely a knowledge project that's going to take years and years and years. But the people that I met have been so, like, passionate about it. Like, I'm over there now and you know, I'm thinking I'm that guy. And I put up some annotations for Rego Love, and I got a message from, you know, I'm a shout out to Frias, man. She was like, listen, those were good, but here's how you make them better. And I was like, word, like, I craved that. She was like, yo, if you do this, 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 and that. So the community really cares for each other and really cares for the site. So that's dope.
That's special.
I'm going to be working on the Rego Love album just because I want to. It's like my check is the same either way. Like, my employment is not contingent on if I annotate Rego's album or not.
You got to keep me updated when you do Run From Me.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch that happy birthday video?
I didn't see it yet. I saw he was promoting it. Yeah. Reek, I'm sorry. How's the happy birthday video?
It's cool. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful ladies. You know, he's good for that always.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's unique, and it's not what you would expect at all from Rego, so it's cool.
I got to get
And then there's
that.
A second half of the video for Days Go By, which is a connected but also separate, so it's cool.
Yo, Reek, I'm sorry. I seen him promoting it heavy, too, and I just didn't get a chance to check it. As soon as we sign off, I'm going to check it. But I'm such a big fan of what...
TTLO is just amazing.
Yeah, with the homie. What did you think of that album?
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I was really surprised by it. I think it's a really solid body of work, you know, which we don't get a lot, especially in R&B. A lot of times it feels like a compilation, but, you know, Rego is a special artist. He's unique. He's not someone you listen to for vocals, but for writing and the songs, the storylines, the personal stuff that was there, that was put on wax, it was strong, real strong.
Bad attitude, but she thick, though. Like, yo, it's like,
yo, I
so
love
many
the
quotables.
Girl's version on that. I forget her name all the time. I know it's somebody
he found on Instagram.
She flew out and she just recorded her verse and she flew back home. It was like nothing. That's boss.
Trifling. There's so many records. If you ain't check out that Rego Love album, go check it out, man. I have a feeling we're gonna be talking about it Grammy time, but we'll see. All right, man, I think we went over our time, man. This is a long one, but man, it's been a great episode with Jamie in here. It just feels like family.
Thanks for coming, honestly, Jamie. It was good having you.
So thanks for coming through.
Glad to be here.
And until next week, man, this has been the Red Light Special. We're gonna let Jake and Papa take you out. Starless. I hope, because the album's out, don't mean that we gotta change our theme song now, but I'm gonna check with them. I'm gonna figure out the legalities of that, man. But go get Sexual Warfare, Jake and Papa Starless. We out.